Blog Talk Radio.
Do for you, and all you gotta do is say it.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is August the 1st. Wow, August the 1st. This year is going by fast. And we are almost all the way through the year. But welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We thank God for all of you who are on the line. We pray God's blessing upon you, that things are going well with you as well. We pray God's blessing that things are happening in your life that will allow you to give God the praise, to give him all the glory, to give him all of the honor. It is a wonderful time to be in the house of God. It's a wonderful time to be a child of God. It's a great time to celebrate him and give him the glory. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the worship service there. Our worship service starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the worship service. Also, we want to invite you to our Facebook page, First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There on the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find some of the upcoming events. You'll find the link for the Bible study that you're listening to right now. And you'll also find the call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can go to the Facebook page and you can find the link and the number for the Bible study. All of our Bible studies on Blog Talk Radio are archived. That means that you can go back at any time to the Facebook page, First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, find the Bible study that you would like to hear, click on that blue link, and it will take you directly to whatever Bible study you choose. Also, on the Facebook page, you are able to see the Sunday morning worship service. If you're not able to come to First Baptist, or if you're living out of the area of North Carolina, you can come and you can go to the Facebook page and you can see the Sunday morning service of First Baptist. So we invite you to just go to the Facebook page, scroll around, and see the different things that are happening at First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank God for all of you who have been visiting us. Those of you who plan to visit, we thank God for you as well. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the telephone line, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We ask, Father, that as we go into our lesson tonight, you will give us understanding, that we must hear the word and understand the word so that we can live according to your word. We thank you, God, for First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing for us and what you continue to do in the house of God. We pray now, God, for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. We ask your blessings and your mercy upon them as they go through at this hour. We thank you now, Lord, for all you're doing for us right now. And we give you all the love. We give you all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Of course, you are invited to come first Sunday. We are having communion at First Baptist. You are invited to come and have communion with us this coming Sunday, which is first Sunday. The first Sunday in August. Amen. This year is going by real, real fast. You are invited to come and have communion with us on Sunday at First Baptist. Our lesson tonight is entitled, Jesus Defends His Disciples. Jesus Defends His Disciples. Taken from the book of Matthew, Matthew 12th chapter, we're going to start in verse 1 and work our way down to verse 14. Jesus Defends His Disciples. Matthew 12, starting in verse 1. In this lesson, Christ shows that the works of mercy are lawful and proper to be done on the Lord's day. There are more ways of doing well upon the Sabbath day than by duties of worship, attending to the sick, relieving the poor, helping those who need help, teaching the young to care for their souls. These are doing good, and these must be done from love and charity, with humility and self-denial, and it shall be accepted. This, like other teachings which Jesus taught, had a spiritual meaning. By nature, our hands are withered, and we are unable of ourselves to do anything that is good. Christ only, by the power of his grace, cures us. He heals the withered hand by putting life into the dead soul, works in us both to his will and to do his will. With this command, there is a promise of grace given by the word. I want to go to this lesson because a couple of things in this lesson that I want to pick up on. Matthew, the 12th chapter, starting in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Here, some scholars distinguish between ceremonial law and moral law in the Old Testament. Examples of ceremonial law include law regulating what should and shouldn't be done by priests and non-priests on the Sabbath. Ceremonially means the Sabbath. Ceremonial law can be canceled, can be changed. Ceremonial law can be fulfilled or made obsolete. The Pharisee added their tradition to the Old Testament ceremonial law that they expected everyone to obey. And they gave their traditions the same authority and the same status as the laws of God, specifically revealed and recorded in the Old Testament. The Pharisee expected Jesus and his disciples to obey all the ceremonial laws, including their traditional interpretation of these laws, which was the foundation for their discussion with Jesus in this lesson. The addition of their tradition to the law of God formed their basis for many of the conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees, and later on between them and the Apostle Paul in the New Testament church. Examples of moral law are the Ten Commandments and the commandments of Jesus. These laws of God will never be changed. For example, God will never change the laws requiring love for God and love for your neighbor. God will never change the law that forbids murder or theft or bear false witnessing or coveting. The moral law regarding the Sabbath observance can be found in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, which describes one of the ways we should love ourselves and others. How we should love our physical bodies and our minds by caring for them, and how we should make certain people and animals don't have anything to do with them. In addition to mental and physical rest, the Sabbath observation also gives people the time to worship God, to enjoy Christian fellowship, and to study the Bible. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he showed how we should not even violate these moral laws in our hearts, because we have violated them of the moral laws, both in heart and action. Jesus died and rose again to save us from our sins. In Leviticus 23:22, we learned that the law of God and the law of love required farmers to permit the poor to eat from their fields. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. Jesus and his disciples were poor. They were materially poor. Therefore, the law of God permitted them to eat grain from the field as they walked. And then verse 2 says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do not which is lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. The poor could not harvest, And many did not have the means to collect and save enough food during the week to feed themselves on the Sabbath. By adding to the law of God, the Pharisees violated the law of love. They brought hardship on those who God intended to care for and protect when he gave the law to Moses. Likewise, the disciples who traveled from place to place with Jesus were sometimes hungry. And in this situation, on the Sabbath day, they took a few grains of corn, rubbed the grains together in their hands, and let the chaff blow, and ate the grain, using their hands. The Pharisees accused Jesus' disciples of harvesting and thrashing, thus working on the Sabbath in violation of the law of God, adding or subtracting from the law of love. The moral law can lead to hardship, suffering, and painful, hypocritical, unjust, judgmental accusations, among others. That's why in verse 3, but he said unto them, have ye not read that David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? In answering this accusation, Jesus referred them to the Bible as the authority, back to the Old Testament as the authority, back in 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6, back to where David, as an example, when he was poor and fleeing from Saul. 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel were put fresh on the tabernacle every 7 days. See Leviticus 24, 5 through 9. The priest Amalek gave David and his men 5 loaves of bread that had been previously removed and replaced by fresh bread in the temple. How he entered into the house of God and did eat of the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. In accordance with ceremonial law, the bread was consecrated or made ceremoniously clean or holy, having been previously presented to the Lord by the priest at least 7 days earlier as part of the worship of the previous week. The ceremonial law forbids anyone but the priest to eat the holy bread. But the priest broke the ceremonial law when he gave the ceremonial bread to David and his companions. And David and his companions ate the bread. But no one broke the moral law when they were given and ate the holy bread. You see, Jesus declared that Amalek and David were justified in breaking the ceremonial law because of the real human need, and that real human need was hunger. They did not break the moral law. Rather, they complied with the law of love when they were given and ate the bread. Neither the Bible nor Jesus condemn their actions. The priest obeyed the moral law, the law of love, when he loved the poor. He fed the hungry. He gave them something to eat. In Mark 2:27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God never intended for the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament to make life more difficult for people, but to bless them in many ways, physically, spiritually, and socially. Many of the ceremonial laws pointed to Jesus as the promised Messiah. They showed some of what Jesus the Messiah would do. In this confrontation with the Pharisee, Jesus' example and words show that the ceremonial laws should never be applied or interwoven with the ways that would violate the moral law or the law of love. In verse 25, it says, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now listen to what Jesus says about this. You see, the Pharisees had a way of blaming people for things that they were doing themselves. They had a way of blaming folk and then going behind covers and doing the same thing, or hiding behind the scripture to do the same thing. That's why Jesus often called them hypocrites, because they would admonish the people for some of the same things that they were doing. Now listen to what he said here in this fifth verse. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? In other words, have you not heard that you are breaking the law too? The word of God is the authority for our actions. No human religious traditions, therefore. Jesus went on to give another example from the scripture. The priests have Sabbath duty. The priests work on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, beloved. The Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. That was the Jewish Sabbath. But the fact that the priest worked on the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, you breaking the Sabbath rules too. You're working on the Sabbath. Therefore, they desecrate or break the ceremonial Sabbath law every Sabbath. But not that the Sabbath moral law, they would keep the Sabbath by resting a different day of the week. You see, their actions and their work on the Sabbath fulfill the moral law, the law of love, because their neighbors benefited from the temple service and in leadership there. So, in other words, Jesus said, yeah, you work on the Sabbath, but you're not supposed to work, but you do because the people expect you to be here. They need you to be here. Jesus and his disciples were also doing the Lord's work on the Sabbath. They were on their way to do Sabbath duty, even though what they were doing in the service of God and others was not specified in the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. As the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus had the authority to lead his followers in the service of God and others without breaking any of God's ceremonial laws. Indeed, Jesus always led them to do the will of God. And furthermore, Jesus never broke a moral law, the law of love, or he never encouraged anyone else to break the moral law. He never encouraged anyone else to break the law of love. Verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. What is he talking about here? Jesus, their long-awaited, expected Messiah, the King of Kings, the only begotten Son of God, their faithful high priest and prophet of God, was there with them preaching the gospel and the good news and healing the sick. Right before their eyes, the one who was speaking to them at that very moment, all that Jesus was, is, will be, and do was something greater than the temple. The temple represents the building, the presence of God with his people. But Jesus came into the world as Emmanuel, as God with us. God was with them at the moment in Jesus. And whatever Jesus was, God was there. The temple could not move from place to place to bring the Lord to the people, but Jesus could bring the Lord to bring the word to the people wherever he went. And whatever he did, he brought and explained the word of God, and he carried with him the law of love. Verse 7. But if ye had known what this meant, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Having referred to a historical event in the life of their greatest king as an example, having referred to the law that regulated the service of their Levitical priest in the temple as an example, Jesus then directly quotes from the prophets in the Bible as authoritative command or word of God. These are some examples of what God spoke through his prophets. Hosea 6 and 6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Isaiah 1, 17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Micah 6 and 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to have mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The traditions that the Pharisees regarding the ceremonial and sacrificial laws of the Old Testament demanded unlawful behavior, violating the moral law and disregarding the law of love. This law of love that was done by Amalek and David, this law of love. The Old Testament demands our behavior. In the 8th verse, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. On various occasions, Jesus told people that he was the Son of Man. It's the Old Testament prophet title for the promised Messiah. When he used that title for himself as the Son of Man, Jesus claimed to be the Lord of the Sabbath. He was given the Sabbath laws. He had given the Sabbath laws. Therefore, he could and only apply and interpret the ceremonial and moral laws according to the express intention and will of the Lord God. He proved he was Lord of the Sabbath by always doing acts of love on the Sabbath, even miraculous acts that only God could do on the Sabbath. Look at verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Now Jesus goes into the temple or into the church. The Pharisees often followed Jesus in order to find some reason to accuse him of breaking the law of God or the Jewish law or traditions given by the Roman laws in order to slander him. Wow. So he had them watching him to see if he would break the laws of God, the Jewish laws, or the Roman laws. They were trying to find some way to slander him or discredit him in the eyes of the people or to punish him or eventually put him to death. They would do whatever was necessary to silence him or destroy his influence over others. Therefore, they followed him from the garden or from the place where the corn was as he and his disciples walked on paths to the fields to worship in the synagogue, where Jesus would do more Sabbath duty or more Sabbath work. He has spies watching him, following him, going wherever he goes to see what laws he would break. They followed him from the cornfield into the synagogue just to see what he would do, if they could find a way to trap him. The Pharisees took counsel to find ways to accuse him. And when I say the word took counsel, I mean they had a meeting. They had a meeting. They got together. They had a meeting to find a way to accuse him that Jesus may be condemned to death. Look at verse 10. Here's one of the reasons. Verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Good question. The Pharisees broke the law of love, the moral law, when they did not love their neighbor as themselves and help the man with special needs. This man had a withered hand. They saw the man. They knew the man. They knew he had a withered hand. Instead of comforting him or trying to make his life better in any way, as they wanted others to do for them, they broke the moral law and tried to use the man as an object lesson in the hope of entrapping Jesus and bringing charges against him. Thus, once again, breaking the moral law by not loving Jesus as he deserved. They are seeking to trick him in order to destroy him. While breaking the moral law, their evil, unloving hearts prompted the question about obedience to the ceremonial law. Would Jesus break the ceremonial law according to their interpretation and tradition? If he did, they knew they could bring charges against him. They saw this man with the withered hand, and they asked that question to him. Would it be lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Listen to what Jesus says to them in verse 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? You see, the law of love given by God in the Old Testament commanded people to help others, even animals, if they were in trouble. It's just common decency. In Deuteronomy 22 and 4, we read, if you see your fellow Israelite's donkey or ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. Help the owner get it to its feet. You see, this is a moral law, a law of love, a law that commands a person to always do the loving and the wisest thing they know how to do. And this is how a society is built. But when we see one in trouble or we see people going through, we try to help the best we possibly can. Jesus' question assumed even a person who is selfish and self-centered like these Pharisees would save their own sheep and ox that belong to them rather than allow the animal to lay in a pit on the side of the road and die just because it was the Sabbath. They would break the ceremonial law regarding the Sabbath to save a valuable sheep for themselves. These Pharisees probably would not break a ceremonial Sabbath law to help a neighbor. Hey, that's something. They would get their sheep out of a ditch if it fell in a ditch on the Sabbath. So in verse 12, he says, how much then is it a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Jesus then told them, and he tells us, that a person is more valuable than an animal, even a domestic animal. If a person could do good and help a sheep or any other animal on the Sabbath, then certainly it's not unlawful to help a person to do good on Sabbath. Jesus had already told them that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. So he could declare what was lawful to do on the Sabbath. Therefore, it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In compliance with the moral law, it was lawful to do the loving thing, the good thing, to heal the man on the Sabbath. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Jesus then proves he is Lord of the Sabbath by doing good on the Sabbath and working a miracle which was in his power to do. It was in the power of the Pharisee to save the sheep if it fell into the ditch. It was in the power of Jesus to heal the person who was sick or handicapped. Jesus always did what was right, what was wise, what was loving, even on the Sabbath. So in obedience to the moral law, we too should and can always do the good, the wise, and the loving thing within our prayerful power 7 days a week. When he said when he said to that man, stretch forth your hand, and he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored. The Bible said that it was restored. Jesus didn't even touch the man. He was healed at his command. Now, I imagine that when the Pharisees saw that, they were very upset. They were probably afraid, and they didn't know what to do. All they knew was that Jesus had to go. A man with that kind of power can move people. A man with that kind of power can cause people to listen to him. A man with that kind of power can draw crowds to him and hear the word that he preaches when he says salvation is free, whereas the Pharisees were charging to absolve you of your sins. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but you know, back in the day, you had to pay for your sins to be absolved. When you went to the temple, you had to carry some type of offering. You had to pay the priest to pray for you. You had to pay the priest to absolve you of your sin. And here comes Jesus saying salvation is free, healing folk for free, opening blind eyes for free, unstopping deaf ears for free, giving crippled people their power back for free, doing it in miraculous ways, in ways that mankind cannot understand or achieve. And so when they saw this, the Pharisees were terribly upset. Verse 14 says, when the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. These Pharisees did not do good, wise, and loving things. These were pious men who walked around checking other people, telling people you can't do this, you can't do that, stop doing this, stop doing that. If you don't stop, we're going to do this, or this or that can happen. They were always threatening people. They were always in the middle of something, trying to stop people from doing whatever was good. And they themselves were hypocrites as well. And so Jesus here has to deal with a group of men who take counsel against him. As I said earlier, when I use the word take counsel, means that they got together and they had a meeting. And just like most people do when they get together and have a meeting, they make a plan. It starts from start to finish. They make a plan. Now, this is how we're going to achieve what it is that we want to achieve. Our goal is to get rid of Jesus. How are we going to achieve what we want to achieve? And that's what that whole meeting was about, how to find a way that they could condemn Jesus to death. Some wanted to just accuse him and to imprison him. But then the latter began to think that, you know, it might be just better to get rid of him altogether. Because if we imprison him, it could anger some and cause others to turn against us. So out of sight, out of mind. These Pharisees did not do any good. They didn't do anything wise. They didn't do anything loving. Instead, they did the evil, hateful thing in violation of the love of law, and they plotted the death of Jesus. They refused to accept the words of Jesus, even when he demonstrated by his own action that he was always within the power to do what he had to do. Even when they saw this man with the withered hand being healed, they still did not recognize the power of the Lord. Even when they saw Jesus say to this man, stretch forth your hand. He always did what was within his power, what was wise, what was good, and what was loving. Indeed, by his words and actions, Jesus demonstrated that he was everything he claimed to be about himself. You see, these Pharisees are much like the people that we have today. Some of them are hardliners, and they don't want to help anyone. They don't want to do anything for anyone. I think one of the, on our last discussion, we had the last topical discussion, we were talking about the selfishness of people and how some people will say, you know, it's a shame that people are homeless. It's a shame that people are hungry. Don't they have people to do that? Don't why we have to do that? Don't they have the Salvation Army? Don't they have the mission? Why don't they do that? Why do we have to do that? It's always someone who will go against the law of love, beloved, and think that they're doing right, just like these Pharisees. They had the law to the letter of the law, even though they didn't keep the letter of the law, because actually, if you want to go back to the Old Testament, those laws are pretty much impossible to keep by most people. And so they couldn't keep the laws either. And then they had the nerve to accuse other people of breaking the same law. I'm going to tell you a quick story before I open the lines. I'm going to get ready to open the lines, but I want to tell a quick story. I had a friend, this was years ago in D.C., who was on drugs. He was on drugs real bad for a long time. But he had a good support system. He had a good family. He had a good group of people around him. And he was able to go to the 12-step program or whatever program it is that you go to. And he was able to pull himself out of the drug habit, and he was able to clean himself up. And he's been straight now, I guess, about 20, 25 years. My point is this. He's always talking so bad about people who are on drugs. He's down on them. And I get it. I understand it's a horrible thing. But how can you, who have just come off of that 20, 25 years ago, that was you, how can you talk so bad without having any kind of sympathy, without having any kind of empathy, without having any kind of love for people who went through the same thing that you went through? And I just think that's a little bit hypocritical. And I spoke to him about it. He didn't like it, but I spoke to him about it. Anyway, this was years ago. We're still friends, but this was years ago. But I just thought that was really hypocritical for him to have been in that lifestyle for many years. The Lord, by his grace, brought him out, put him back on his feet, and now he's excoriating people who find themselves in that same position. See, beloved, we don't never know where we will be tomorrow. We don't never know what will happen to us tomorrow. So we got to be prayerful and treat others as we would have them to treat us. We're going to open the phone lines to see if those are anyone who'd like to speak on the lesson. Let's go to area code 609. Last four digits, 4126. Are you on the line? 4126.
9126.
9126.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, everyone.
Good.
Hi. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson, and only thing that I really have to add is that when you've been shown mercy, you should be able to show mercy to others, no matter who they are. And mm-hmm. I've seen people come into the church, and they might reek of alcohol, or they might not look like you or I. And they sit next to someone, and someone will get up and move to another seat because they don't want to be a part of that, you know. And it's just, I just felt like it's indignant to the person who is trying to come in, because we don't come into the church clean.
That's right.
So why would someone, you know, treat somebody like that? And I'm sure there are times where, you know, with adding to your story, that mercy was shown, you know, to that person. So now you have to learn how to give mercy back.
That's right. That Pharisee spirit still reigns in the church. You still got Pharisees in the church. You still do. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? 3447. Your phone might be muted.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you today? I'm gonna have to come back to you because I can't hear you right now. I'll come back to you in just a minute.
Okay.
Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 1694. 1694, are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm doing well. As usual, I'm driving on my way home from work here, but I was able to listen to the lesson today, and it's wow. Very, very, once again, a very well-taught lesson, and I've really heard a lot of, humility in this lesson. I heard a lot about how people always watch you, you know, like the saying, people say, they talk about Jesus, they're going to talk about you. And in this lesson, how they were watching Jesus and how they were waiting for him to mess up mentally, spiritually, physically, I mean, in every kind of way. And, you know, a lot of things can be said about people doing that today on every hand, and how we as Christians, you know, have to remember those things, how, like other people say, how we have been shown mercy and how we should show mercy and how we should know that, you know, we have to have some common sense in this thing called life and this Christian walk too. And it's, I wish I was sitting down so I could have wrote everything down, but that's just a great lesson tonight.
Well, thank you for your input. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson. A couple of things here that I want to point out, that in this chapter of Matthew, he wanted us to know for sure that these events was happening on the Sabbath day.
Uh-huh.
And he commanded his people, this was in the Old Testament, to rest on the seventh day of the week, which was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says that Sunday is now the Sabbath day instead of Saturday.
Because
we know that Sunday is the Lord's day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the day that really back then when most of the Christians met, you know, to worship in the early church. Mm-hmm. And in
okay.
Christ, he has set us free from the Old Testament laws.
Mm-hmm.
And including those strict requirements of observing the Sabbath on Saturday or any other day.
Mm-hmm.
And but the issue with the Pharisees was that the disciples was working on the Sabbath day. And see, the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, they developed this list about, it says like 39 different types of rules related to working on the Sabbath. And like harvesting that wheat was one of those that was forbidden that was on that list not to
mm-hmm.
do on the Sabbath. Even it didn't matter how much. It could be just a small amount of wheat harvested, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
and we see that in the way that you say, we see that Pharisees, they had to work on the Sabbath day just so that the temple could function. And that's sort
right.
of like in our modern day,
mm-hmm.
Our modern day today. Sunday is a work day for pastors.
Mm-hmm.
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 The priests, you know, they violated the letter of the law, but yet that was okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first, they were just unhappy with Jesus, and they just wanted to trap him and accuse him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. It is duly noted mm-hmm. that the Jewish Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, but later on when the Romans mm-hmm. took over the world and formed the Roman calendar,
right.
holy day was moved from Saturday to Sunday, and that was done in 325
right.
BC. And so it's been like
mm-hmm.
that for thousands of years now. So that is the reason why we go to church on Sunday. However, some
right.
Orthodox Jews, they still go to church on Saturday, and they keep
right.
that. I want to go back and see if I can get Deacon Fuller. Deacon Fuller, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm
Deacon
on the line.
Fuller. Okay, I can hear you now. Go right ahead.
It's amazing to me that folks would. I'm glad you broke it down about the law of the moral law versus, you know, the ritual laws of, you know, religious laws of just, you know, the ceremonious law. But, you know, I just reminded that God has placed out of all of the things God has put love into each of those commandments, and love is the most powerful thing. So it doesn't matter, and I'm glad you say that, because it doesn't matter what day it is, you still should extend yourself out with love to help folks, even on Sundays and things. I enjoyed the lesson. I enjoyed the
mm-hmm.
panel, as usual, and I hope everyone is blessed.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask a question, and anybody can answer this who wants to answer. The Pharisees, these men were supposed to be those who upheld the law. Now, the law of God says, thou shalt not commit murder, or thou shalt not kill, put it that way. When they took counsel to find ways to get rid of Jesus, wasn't that not breaking the law of God? What do y'all think? Anybody?
It was, Pastor. This is Francis. It was, but they also had to kind of legally convict him, like they do in today's court
mm-hmm.
with the people. You know, so what they did was bring to the people so that he could be legally convicted, so, and found guilty, so that they can, you know, kill him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Pastor Rogers, as we see in the scriptures, they always were getting other people, not just the masses, but individuals to spy on, to follow, to make up stories. You know, they were always getting other people to do their dirty work, so to speak. And if you can bring it back to one of today's terms, it was so heavenly bound that they were no earthly good. I mean, they just forgot about the things that they were totally invested in. They were totally invested into their religion, and would overlook several things, you know, and on their own behalf, but not on somebody else's behalf.
You know, in this lesson, it is very important that we understand that, you know, doing good is like Deacon Fuller said, doing good is required every day. And we can't let man-made law. These were laws that the Pharisees made, not that the Lord made. These were laws that the Pharisees made and added to the laws. And these were man-made laws. And whenever we do that, we have to be very careful that those laws don't offend or hurt people in the, you know, just to say you're doing the right thing. In other words, even though you may have in your mind to do what is lawful, it can be something that is hurtful to people as well. You know, and we have to understand the love of law and the love of love and the law of love. And we have to be able to differentiate one between the other, so that we don't get caught up in the same trap as these men were. Here's another thing I wanted to ask, just a question. I'll ask Trustee Mangum, you there?
Yes, sir.
This man that had the withered hand, he was probably there in the synagogue. What does it mean to you that there's a man who is handicapped in the synagogue and nobody wants to help him? What does that symbolize to you?
I'm sorry. You're right. You said the man was in, okay, he's currently in the synagogue with no one there.
That wanted to help him. Right, uh-huh. Right.
I think that was, I think that was bad, a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's in a place where he's supposed to receive help.
Right.
But there is no relief for him there. Everyone is thinking of what? Themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, people come to the church like that. A lot of people come to church on Sunday just to pray for themselves. They don't come to ask God to heal other folk or to help other people. You know, that's why we have to have this corporate prayer in the church. At every church, there has to be this corporate prayer every Sunday where we ask God to help the sick, help the needy, help those who are going. We have to do that because 9 times out of 10, most people, when they pray, they only ask God to help them. And this is what this symbolizes about this man in the midst of a place where things are supposed to be right. He can't get no help. Only when Jesus comes in does this man get any kind of help by healing through the word spoken. And that's another thing, and I'm going to close after that. Who can talk about the fact that Jesus didn't even touch this man? He just spoke the word. What do y'all think of that? Anybody? Anybody want to talk about that? It means go right ahead. Uh-huh.
That means that he just all powerful.
Right, right. And his word is sufficient. Am I right?
That's right.
His word is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, thank all of you for being on the line tonight. I hope you have enjoyed our lesson. Hope you got something from that lesson. We can take a lot from it because Jesus defends his disciples. And there are times that we have to defend ourselves, and we have to defend other Christians as well.
And others.
Go right ahead. Somebody has something to say?
No, okay. I was just saying, and others. I'm sorry. I thought I was mute.
No, I'm just saying that there are times we have to defend ourselves, and we have to defend the church, and we have to defend the people. Invariably, at least once a week, I have to defend Christianity, just as a pastor, just in general conversation with people. They're always asking questions against the church or about the church, and I always have to find myself sometimes, I don't mind, but I find myself having to defend what we do. And we have to do that. We have to defend ourselves. We have to defend our disciples. We have to defend our actions. We have to defend our God. We have to defend our church. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this lesson tonight. We thank you, God, for those who have been on the line, those who have participated, those who have added to the study tonight. We thank you, God, for their ideas and for their understanding. We pray now, God, that as we have learned this lesson about Jesus and the moral law, that we will keep the moral law. We will keep the laws of God as well, but we will also keep the law of love. Lord, teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to care for one another. Teach us how to understand one another so that we can be helpful toward one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another, so Lord, give us more love for one another. We thank you now, Lord, and we accept your promises. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you Sunday morning.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.